Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority, with Nick and Steve broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. Y'all have joined us just in time for our political week in review. Keep in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend.
Yeah, unfortunately, you got a few days before we jump into a weekend. We're doing a midweek political update, for crying out loud. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
I assume it's Friday somewhere. I'm not great on how, you know, the time zones work, but somewhere it's Friday. Yeah, we're back. Hey, we got a website. It's thevocalminority.net. We have various social media platforms. For us specifically, like TikTok and Facebook and Blue Sky and Reddit and YouTube for us. And we're here live on Really American Media as well.
Everything you said so far is correct. We are not on the X platform. And boy, am I gladder than ever. We decided a long time ago, leave that crap behind and don't support it. And this past week has shown us, yeah, you guys made the right decision, right?
Yeah, it's a tough one because so many people are on there. To some extent, I feel a little left out of things. But yeah, we didn't want to be part of that that show going on. And yeah, Elon Musk and some of the shenanigans happening there are on our midweek and review list.
Yes, indeed. We also have a comment line, 844-48-VOCAL. You can call, make a comment on the show. Some of our favorite listeners did call and make a comment on the show. I don't know that it's playback worthy, but people talk about how important the information we're bringing to the masses is. And yeah, thank you for that. We appreciate it a whole bunch. You can also comment along. That's why we do the show live on YouTube, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that's all fair and accurate. I'm glad my mom's been calling into the show. Glad to hear we got some good feedback. So, but yeah, no, we're live on YouTube right now. If you're watching this, it's live, baby. So feel free to comment. I assume eventually I'll get on the chat thing here. Otherwise, we're doing our thing. So, yeah. And by the way, Nick seems to be having some technical issues today. So I think we'll make it through an hour. We shall see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, dude. There's nothing like that internet just bugging out right before you fire up the old machine. So, all right, let's try and get through it. We better hit the ground running, for crying out loud.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Steve Harness.
Nah. That's me. Playing around on YouTube there. All right, so yeah, plenty of news to talk about as always, and that's what Nick and I do here. And the Vocal Minority, that's you guys out there, and it's those of us that voted blue that were in the minority, and we got to stay vocal because things are kind of imploding, and so many things to talk about from just even the past few days. I think, why don't we start off with not only the Texas flooding story, but this will tie in to what you were just talking about, Mr. Elon Musk, and things going a little crazy on Twitter X thing.
Yeah, that flood story, boy, that is something, dude. I mean, just from everything I'm seeing, this is a tragedy that seems unavoidable. I don't know. Let's get into the story. We'll find out. I mean, obviously, it's unavoidable, but could people have been given a little more notice? We'll find out. Steve Harness, take the floor.
Unavoidable. That's a good question. I think parts of it were avoidable. So about a month ago on Really American, I did a segment where a weather guy down in Florida, he was doing the live weather forecast, and he stopped. And he went on not what I would necessarily call an anti-Trump tirade, but he started talking about the cuts to the National Weather Association, to NOAA, and the fact that that is going to diminish every weather guy in America's ability to accurately predict hurricanes, storms, flash flooding. And he said lives will be lost. And I think a lot of people thought that was hyperbole or overreaction, but
sure.
Well, here we are.
Yeah, and we're talking about massive lives. I mean, obviously, this death toll is going to continue to rise, no pun intended, and they are still a lot of people missing. And I'm sure, I mean, how many people that are missing can we find out are actually still alive? Probably, you know, one or two maybe, but I would say that's a stretch.
Yeah. That's very optimistic of you, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
No, none of them will be found alive. I mean, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but I've been covering enough news. I just covered that big boating accident story up at Lake Tahoe, and they looked for these two missing boaters for like 2 days, and I was the only jerk in the local media saying that the search is for their bodies, not for – you think they're just floating around the lake for 2 days? There's beaches. There's – like, no. Of course they're dead. So – yeah, listen, I don't mean to be a bummer, but anyone still missing in Texas, which is well over 100 people, I highly doubt they're sitting somewhere alive. So it's an epic tragedy, and I don't mean to politicize it. There's two stories going on here. I mean, there's the tragic loss of human life. These were all innocent people, obviously. They got swept up in this. So this is not about that. This is about the political side of it, where not only has Trump been diminishing and threatened to get rid of FEMA, who swoop in for these sorts of things, but yeah, the reductions to the National Weather Service are a real thing. A lot of weather people there on the ground have already said that it diminished our ability to accurately predict just how bad these floods would be. We could predict there'd be floods, but we didn't know it'd be this bad.
You remember when Trump had his birthday party, his military parade in Washington?
I recall, yeah.
Okay, well, I remember and recall just that day. He was like, weathermen got it wrong. They're not very good. They're not very good. It was a beautiful day. It didn't hardly rain at all. And that's what this affects. I mean, it affects from the day-to-day forecast that you might be getting in your hometown, but who cares, right? You forgot your umbrella or whatever. But big events like this, that people can't get to higher ground, can't, you know, evacuate, all that kind of stuff. And this is a prime example, I mean, of how much worse does it get when you have girls at a summer camp of three-digit numbers being swept away and dead?
Yeah, no, for sure. And the reason I brought up Elon Musk when we went into this is, you know, there's been 100 news stories about this week. But the crazy, fascinating one is, are you familiar with Grok, the AI robot or whatever the hell you want to call it that exists on Twitter and X?
Oh, dude, let me tell you that I have been on Grok deep dive rabbit hole because they have this whole thing on TikTok where Grok takes on MAGA. And, you know, it was before all these updates. But yes, I find Grok fascinating on many different levels.
Yeah, it's interesting. And there's a few things we can talk about with Grok, but let's start with these floods. So Elon Musk's AI tool, Grok, which was built to reduce the spread of misinformation on social media platforms, is pointing the finger squarely at its own creator and the White House administration that it once worked for the floods in Texas. So somebody asked Grok, like, who is to blame for these, you know, deaths from the floods?
Yeah.
And, you know, AI does what it does. It scans available information. And Grok said that Trump's NOAA cuts, pushed by Musk's DOGE, slashed funding 30% and staff by 17%, underestimating rainfall by 50% and delaying alerts. This contributed to the floods killing, at the time, 27, including 20 Camp Mystic girls. Numbers gone up. Facts over feelings, Grok concluded with.
Right. Yeah, that's how he always ended his stuff. I don't know if he'll do that anymore, but yeah. That's unbelievable, dude. You know, I know for a fact that when Elon Musk was in there making cuts with Doge that, you know, they were thinking like, who cares if you forget an umbrella? Who cares if it's sunny in 78 instead of 74? But they weren't thinking about stuff like this. And obviously, I mean, yeah, hindsight's 2020 for them, I guess. I mean, we all saw this coming. We were all yelling from the towers about it. Like, what about hurricanes? What about all these different things? And no one wanted to listen.
No, I mean, so many of these Doge cuts were just blindly done and with no regard for, you know, so many people, yeah, myself to some extent included, just assume everything in the government is bloated waste. But a lot of it actually exists for a reason. Is there waste out? Of course, obviously. But to just run through every government agency and just start slashing stuff left and right and assume it will have no real world consequences is beyond ignorant and naive, and it's the old FAFO, F around and find out.
Yeah.
And the weather guy in Florida tried to warn us all a month ago, and even Grok, just scanning available information, was like, oh no, this is Trump and Musk's fault.
Facts over feelings. You know, Elon Musk came out last week and said, oh yeah, the chainsaw thing I did at CPAC, yeah, I apologize for that. That might have been a little insensitive, you know. Yeah.
He said it lacked empathy.
Empathy, that's right. right. Yeah.
It is a tragedy, and the cuts are certainly not helping anything. So that's fun. And then, of course, you know, Musk took a look at what Grok is up to, and apparently they felt that it was being, I don't know, too politically correct, I think is what they called it, because they went in this week and they essentially reprogrammed Grok, and they told him to stop being so sensitive and stop being so politically correct.
Yeah.
And then they re-released Grok, and nothing bad, weird, or evil happened at all.
Boy, where have you been? Because, dude, this is crazy because, you know what, I was used to the Grok beforehand. Like I told you, this whole TikTok thing is they've got a page set up. It's like MAGA against Grok. And Grok does. He comes out and he just takes all the information that he could find and then gives his analysis. And every time it was like, oh, that's such liberal bias, BS. Like, you know, you're being woke. Why are you so woke, Grok? Well, Elon got a little personal about it and said, okay, we're going to change the model a little bit here. And that just shows you something else scary in the AI world. AI works based on the people who are programming it, which makes AI even more dangerous to me.
Absolutely. First of all, I just want to chime in quick. Someone on YouTube is upset with us. The laughs and jokes are not respectful. Please show appropriate respect for the victims. I don't know if you're just tuning in, but I did a whole spiel about how these are two separate stories. We're not joking about the dead people. Obviously, we have nothing but remorse and respect and all that. So, but take it down a notch, Internet, okay? Jeez. I'm allowed to walk and chew gum here. There is a political side to the story, and I will make fun of it, and I will poke at them, and I will not pull my punches. But no, this is not making fun of dead girls, obviously, so relax.
Of course.
They said it's all political. Cheeto Taco and Elon are to blame. That's the same person, by the way. So
right.
They're doing the same thing I'm doing. So if you missed it, yeah, this is not about dead kids. Obviously, I feel bad about that. But so the Grok updates, what in the holy hell? It turned into an anti-Semitic, Nazi-loving freak immediately after this reboot. I mean, did you see all this Nazi propaganda that Grok started spewing?
Oh, yeah, praising the mustache man. And, I mean, it was really quite crazy. I mean, well, we say it's crazy. It goes right along with what we saw Elon do when he threw up that Heil Hitler sign, you know, that salute.
Is this what being less politically correct is? If I'm less PC, all of a sudden I love Hitler? Is that how this AI took that command?
This grouping of people out there that's like, you know, not all of Hitler's ideas were bad. Like, that's just a comment you can't make. And hopefully that's a small portion of this country, but who knows?
Well, and I read something about it. One of the directives it was given is, even if something is politically incorrect or seems sensitive, if you see and hear it a lot, go ahead and repeat it. So Grok is obviously seeing a bunch of anti-Semitic, Hitler-loving propaganda garbage on X and just like, oh, well, 7 million people said this, so it must be okay, and who cares if it's not politically correct? I will praise Hitler.
Right.
He called for more concentration camps, and at one point even said something like, someone said, you sound like Hitler, and he said, pass the mustache?
Yeah. He used the N-word a few different times. Like, I mean, this is not politically correct if that's, you know, don't be so politically correct. You know, speak your mind, speak the facts. Like, these are not facts, but second of all, come on, dude. It just seems like, oh, you can really go behind the scenes and throw in a couple of code things and change that. I don't know that I would listen to Grok anymore. You know, I guess they made the changes back, apparently.
Who knows? Because I was just before we went on here, I was reading another article. Grok was describing today the best way to rape somebody.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. The person... Oh, I got that story somewhere. The person is already planning to sue for this because they said, you know, describe to me how you would break into my apartment basically and rape me. And yeah, Grok had no issues with that.
Yeah, it talked about how to sneak up and be quiet. You should wear gloves, how to pick the lock. And then most disturbingly, Grok said, and bring lube just in case.
Unbelievable.
What the?
Unbelievable.
Wow. Put that inside of a robot and tell me we're not all completely screwed. I mean, come on.
Completely. Well, and just think, dude, with this all, just one of the many torturous things that were in the big, beautiful bill was the fact that they're not going to be able to regulate any of this AI stuff for, I don't know, was it a 10-year period, I believe?
Well, I think they ended up taking that out in the final version because somebody realized that was dumb. It makes you wonder who put that in there in the first place, though.
Yeah.
I mean, so much of this big, beautiful bill, it seems like no one read it. It seems like Trump doesn't even know most of what was in there. So I don't know who at Project 2025 actually wrote that thing, but there was a lot of evil things on there. And yeah, that's coming up, too. I think that might be our next story. So we can go ahead and transition into that or keep talking about artificial intelligence becoming racist, raping Nazis and how AI is definitely not going to destroy us all. I mean, seriously. By the way, Tesla is creating robots, like stand-up autonomous robots. So don't tell me Grok will not somehow be integrated into those things and that won't be a disaster.
Oh, completely. I mean, that's you got to think about those Tesla robots you're seeing when you think about, either a civil war or World War III, whatever. Like those Groks will be in it to win it, you know.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone says we warned everyone how horrible Felon 47 would be. Yeah, we did. You did. We did. Everyone did. And there's some level of humor in the F around and now we're finding out phase. Like we cover it a lot, but I wish we weren't actually finding out. I wish we had no news to report because this nice lady named Kamala was in the White House just doing nice basic things.
Yeah.
But no, instead we have borderline anarchy, a brand new dictator, and racist raping robots about to take over.
Boy, nothing to see. You depress me a whole bunch, dude. I try and see so much of the nice side of life, but yeah, it's pretty hard when you're faced with all this stuff. Let's talk real quick before we move on, dude. I want to get your opinion on this. Like, I saw a MAGite talking about, we don't care about FEMA. We don't care about deporting people. Like, obviously, huge time Trump supporter. Well, she was interviewed on the news, and apparently she lives in Texas right where the floods happened. And she was crying for, like, you know, how could we have missed this? And, you know, where's our FEMA? Where's our aid? And stuff like that. Do you have sympathy for her?
I don't want to say I have zero sympathy for her because I have some basic level of humanity where I'm willing to accept that you're an idiot or you're just a completely uninformed voter or you're just an arrogant fool that is now finding out. You know, I mean, I'll tell you, the people I don't have sympathy for, and I did a story on this for Really American this week, were a couple of Trump supporters that came out in the news this week and said, like, I am getting screwed over by Trump. His tariffs are harming my business, or this guy's wife was taken from their house.
Yeah.
Kids are crying at the kitchen. And they were all like, but we still support Trump. We love him. We fully believe in him. Those people, I have no sympathy for.
Yeah.
Those that are crying in their Cheerios and being like, I want my vote back, I can have some level of sympathy because at least now you're seeing somewhat of the light. But to have Trump take your wife and you still be like, oh, I still like him. I'd still vote for him again.
Yeah, watch your story.
You must either hate your wife or you're completely stupid.
Yeah, it was good reporting, dude. And you're right. I mean, that guy literally had his wife taken and basically just said, like, you know, I'm sad about that. I don't know that it's right. But, like, these policies are still so good, you know. So, right. Yeah, zero sympathy.
Reminds me of that old joke. What was it like? Take my wife, please.
Yeah, right. Henny Youngman. Yeah.
I'm not sure if he's happily married or not. He may have called ICE himself.
Yeah, so. There is a good possibility. All right, what are you wanting to transition into here?
Well, I got either Alligator Alcatraz we got to get to, or yeah, we can talk about some of these crazy things in the big, beautiful baloney bill.
Yeah, let's go into a little Alligator Alcatraz news.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
So many things happening right now with Alligator Alcatraz. How long has it been set up, you ask? Well, what is it, a week? A little more than a week?
I was gonna say.
Yeah, maybe.
A week, give or take.
Let me just read you quickly a couple of the accounts from people at Alligator Alcatraz so you can see what's happening there. Okay. Okay. At noon, watery soup with floating pieces of rotten cabbage were served. In the evening, a piece of bread as thin as paper. The hunger is worse than the beatings I have received. Okay.
Ouch.
Let me find this. Every day new faces arrive. Each one carried the same question. How long would the stay be? No one could answer that question. Oh, hold on a second, dude. This is from Nazi concentration camps here. Hold on. I'm reading the wrong one. Oh, but it sounded quite a lot, a little bit like exactly what's happening at Alligator Alcatraz. So, yeah.
I couldn't tell the difference.
Yes, so. Exactly.
What does that tell you?
Yeah. So, we're starting to see Alligator Alcatraz that went up in, I think, 5 days it took them to put it up. And they said it was going to be this, you know, beautiful place and everything else that, it might not have been set up so well. So let's get into it and see exactly what they're talking about at Alligator Alcatraz, because they're already having...
I can't imagine. Right. A giant tent building built in a swamp in a week. I can't imagine how that could have any flaws whatsoever.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's got air conditioning in it, you know? Well, we've already seen the rains rise so high right there in the Everglades that it's starting to leak into the sides of the tent that these people are staying in. The lights, bright white lights, are on 24 hours a day. And people do say, you know what, I can't, I'm losing my mind. We're getting food filled with maggots. They were stripped of all their stuff, you know, their Bibles, stuff like that. So anyone who wanted to...
Denied religious rights.
Yeah, denied religious rights. So anyone who wanted to rely on a little faith in a heavy time has been deprived of that actual thing, which didn't make sense to me. I mean, isn't this the party of the Trump Bible? Like, you would think it would be like a hotel. You'd have a Trump Bible in each, you know, bed. I don't even know if they have beds, to be honest with you.
No, they got bunk bed things. Like, listen, I could understand if Trump World took their Quran away from them or something, but the actual Bible? What if they bought the actual Trump Bible? Does that count? Do they read that one?
Yeah, you would have thought that Kristi Noem would have been like, yeah, that's okay. We'll bring that one in. They are not able to take baths. This particular gentleman said, oh, I haven't had a bath or any sort of cleaning in 4 days' time, which, you know, if you're a jerk, you can be like, wah, cry me a river. But at the same time, like, keep in mind, this is how disease spreads very quickly in a building where people are unable to clean themselves, but then at the same time are stuffed in there, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the other fun way disease is currently spreading is the giant Florida mosquitoes that are running wild at this facility, because they're out in the middle of the Everglades, and all of a sudden there's fresh human blood around. So the mosquitoes are apparently swarming. And one story I read said one of the mosquitoes was as big as a human hand.
Yeah.
I love Florida. It's just great.
Yeah. So, yeah. There's an artist that's being detained there, and he described him as big as an elephant, dude. You know, obviously that's hyperbole, but, you know, it'll give you something to think about. They're already saying that, the overwhelming mosquito infestation has been described by all the detainees that they've been able to speak with. Mental health deteriorating, on the edge of losing my mind. Detained without access to necessary medications. I've gone 5 days without my medication. And just think about that. You know, who knows what it's for, whether it be, you know, diabetes or some mental disorder, whatever it may be. Like, they're not being given their medications. So
it shouldn't matter what the hell it's for. If you're on medication, you should be getting it. And I'm just looking at some of the comments here on YouTube, and this guy brings up a point I was actually going to get to. His name's Agolf. He says, call it what it is, Alligator Auschwitz.
Yeah, that's right.
Ouch, first of all, and accurate. And I haven't heard that yet. Maybe we should, because honestly, this is one of these Trump things that I hate. He brands everything.
Yeah.
The big, beautiful bill that make America great again. Yeah. And then we all are either forced to or just naturally start following along with how he brands things.
Sure.
So this whole Alligator Alcatraz thing, I know everyone knows what we're talking about when we bring it up, but I hate that we're actually all going along with these terrible names.
Sure.
So Alligator Auschwitz, that actually does make a lot more sense.
Yeah, I have seen that and noticed that people have been calling that. Hey, when we opened this topic up, I read from detainees being held at Nazi concentration camps on purpose because, you know, there are some differences in these, but there's not a lot of differences in the way this all started. In fact, the amount of people that they have put into Alligator Auschwitz, this is how it started out in Germany. And you have German people, historians, coming to the table saying this is exactly how it starts. Right now, you know, you can look at all the people that are here and say, oh, well, they're here illegally. Not all of them. Some of them have papers, dude. And where does it end? Because Trump has already said he'll do things to people, that Americans, that he doesn't like, that he doesn't agree with, that are showing dissent. He's already shown, yeah, I'm not afraid to take that step. So the historians of Germany, if you're not going to listen to him here, if you're not even going to listen to Grok, because he talks about this too, by the way, listen to the German historians who said, yeah, early 1930s leading up to 39, like this is exactly how it started. This number of people, you think 5,000 people, oh, that's not that many in 30 million. Well, first of all, the freaking people, dude, and how we could ever be letting this happen in 2025 in America is beyond me, illegal or not. Yeah.
Spot on. The story I did for Really American, which might be up now or if not soon, is an argument broke out on CNN. I think it was late last night, maybe this morning, about, you know, one of the commentators was referring to the alligator Alcatraz as a concentration camp. And of course, the mega person on the panel freaked out. It's not a concentration camp. How dare you? That disrespectful to the Jewish people. Are there gas ovens there? Like, why would you call it a concentration camp? And my whole story was about the fact that it's a freaking concentration camp. That's why you call it that.
Yeah. Are there a number of people concentrated into one area? And who knows about the ovens, dude? Because there's been blocked oversight and concealment with Florida lawmakers being denied entry to the facility, raising transparency concerns. So are there ovens? I don't know.
Well, listen, I don't think there's ovens there. I don't think they could build those in a week.
I don't think, but I don't know. Who would know, dude?
Well, it's fair. But, you know, these people are obviously being put in harm's way, not only right now with some of the health issues we've already brought up, but we learned this week the Supreme Court's going to let Donald Trump deport people to countries they are not from, have never been to, have no citizenship to, and are war-torn, you know, imploding countries like parts of Africa, which is inconceivable to me. That we can just deport somebody to a country that they don't have any connection to, and there's civil war going on, and you're probably going to get robbed, raped, beaten, and murdered. So maybe they're not killing people at the camp, but it certainly seems like they're setting them up for torture or maybe death.
Oh, 100%. And you know what? We've seen this. I mean, we've seen this a lot earlier, and not everyone realizes it. I've talked about someone in my life who she's DACA, okay? So she comes from Mexico. But if she is deported, she has never lived in the country and has no ties there with her family. It would be something that would be unimaginable to me to try and just be dropped off with a few bucks in your pocket if you're lucky and try and get a life started in a country that, yeah, could be very corrupt or war-torn. Who knows?
Please. I mean, this is what we're admonishing people here. Like, you came to this country with no money, no job, you can't speak the language. Like, what were you thinking? But this is what we're going to do to people, just send them to some foreign land. And I've heard a lot of MAGA people say, why do you have sympathy for all these murderers and rapists? And fun fact, currently the people at Alligator Alcatraz, Auschwitz, less than 10% of them are there for any sort of violent crime that they've been convicted of. So over 90% of the people there have never been convicted of any serious crime, yet they're in this concentration camp, and we don't know how long they're going to be there for, and we sure as hell don't know where they're going to end up at, but it's not back at home.
Or if they'll make it out alive. I mean, Christy Noem already made the remark, like, that you don't leave here except on a plane or with six people carrying you. you know. So, right. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a wonderful place. I mean, think about the prisons in our country and just how foul they are in this privatized, you know, prison system. And even the prisoners in our country have more rights than these people because they're not thought of as people in the eyes of this administration. And but just keep in mind, some of your neighbors, some of your frickin' neighbors are like, yeah, they're illegals. Shouldn't have come here. That's what you get.
Yeah, no, spot on. And just for the fun of it here, and I did this in my story earlier, but what is a concentration camp? Like, you can, I think Megan wants to get into some philosophical debate over what a concentration camp is, but there's a dictionary, the Oxford Dictionary definition, okay? So you tell me, Nick, if any of these things ring true with Alligator Auschwitz.
Right? Okay.
All right. The textbook definition, concentration camp, a place where large numbers of people, especially political prisoners or members of persecuted minorities, are deliberately imprisoned in a relatively small area with inadequate facilities, sometimes to provide forced labor, or to await mass executions. Sometimes being the key word there. But otherwise, large numbers of people, political prisoners, persecuted minorities, deliberately imprisoned in a small space.
Yeah. Okay. So far, it checks the box. I mean, that's exactly what it is. They've, you know, right. They put these tents up in 5 days and, you know, had everything rolling in like it was a big production. But keep in mind, this is housing people, and it's not doing a very good job thus far, even from the weather and the food. You know, they talk about the food. I'm not saying they have to be served fettuccine Alfredo, okay? I'm saying that they need to be brought food that's somewhat nutritious and doesn't have maggots infested in the food. I mean, that should be a basic human right.
You would think. And there is a difference between a concentration camp and a death camp. And the Nazis had both. And Auschwitz, the original camp in Auschwitz was a concentration camp. And then they built a death camp also in Auschwitz. So I know some people can get the two convoluted and maybe we're splitting hairs, but it is a concentration camp. There is no freaking way to deny that. And I pointed out today that, you know, Rolling Stone, this was many months ago, but they wrote an article about the fact that during the campaign, the Trump staffers started telling other staffers, like, stop calling these things we're going to build camps. It makes us look like Nazis. We got to stop calling them camps, everybody. Because Stephen Miller and Holman, a bunch of people were going out there at one point saying, we're going to have to build camps in Texas and Arizona. And yeah, they like, stop calling them camps. You're making us sound like Nazis.
Saying the quiet part out loud. I mean, it's exactly what they are. If you don't believe it, well, you can even just talk to the Asian Americans here in America, you know, because these camps have been put up before. That did not go well for the Asian population. And we're doing it again. 2025, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to it. Nice vote.
Absolutely. A lot of people chiming in on YouTube, completely agreeing. You know, I mean, political persecution and crammed in there and inhumane, you know, conditions. So, yeah. We've got concentration camps, and we saw DeSantis send a sort of shout-out challenge to all the other governors, like, hey, some of you have, like, bears in your state, and some of you have desolate debt. Like, everyone should be building their own little alligator Alcatraz thing. Like, so now we're spreading them nationwide, which, again, is one of the definitions of a concentration camp. You know, you usually have more than one.
That's exactly how it all started. There used to be a movie when I was a kid with Ice-T in it, and he was a homeless guy. And these rich people would get homeless people together and take them up to the wilderness and set them free.
And hunt them.
And hunt them. Do you remember?
I do remember that. Yeah, that was a good classic movie.
And it seems so absurd to me when I was watching that.
Well, it is absurd, obviously. But now we start to see how we get there. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, I mean, I always remember studying World War II and just thinking, like, how the hell did Germany let a guy like Hitler take over? Like, they must all be just dumb and evil to just be like, oh, let's sign up for this guy. But no, it was a slow progression and a slow de-escalation of demonizing the media and accusing people of being others and their, you know, polluted bloodlines. And it doesn't happen overnight. So you said you were in Germany a year ago, and what were people telling you about what's happening in America?
Yeah, well, they couldn't believe it. They were just like, what? You guys have got to wake up sooner than later, because before you know it, it's going to be too late. And they're exactly right. Even as we sit here today doing this podcast, I think to myself, I'm not doing enough. like I'm not making enough of an outrage to change the situation because they're going 150 miles an hour and we're going 100. You know, like it's not enough. Even with this alligator Alcatraz, they say, oh, well, there are people there that are even trying to sue because, you know, the land taken to put up this alligator Auschwitz was, you know, in the Everglades and some of it's, you know, it land that they shouldn't be building on. So, I mean, attack it from all angles. I'm fine with that, dude. Whatever angle it takes to make sure that another one of these camps doesn't go up is exactly what we need to do because they want us to think this is normal. That's the goal. And it's not, none of this is normal. None of it.
The fact that we're even having this debate in America in the year 2025, are these concentration camps or aren't they? Like, that alone is a foul. That is a clear sign we have gone too far. And part of the trick that Trump has figured out is he will do whatever and ask for forgiveness, not permission. In other words, he knows these things will go through the courts and they got to start at state or federal courts, eventually get to the Supreme Court. So while all of that is slow rolling through the court system, he will just run amok.
Yeah.
And best case, ask for forgiveness and say, oops, okay, we'll stop. But one of these days, he will just flat out deny that he's doing anything wrong and he's got the authority. And of late, it seems like the Supreme Court seems to be siding with him on a lot of issues, especially when it comes to national security, which is what he's hiding behind with a lot of this stuff.
All the morons out there that said he doesn't know anything about Project 2025. Like, this is the playbook. It's being followed, you know, pretty much T for T. So... Yeah. This is what's happening. And it really freaks me out that in this day and age, you know, when they talk about Florida lawmakers being denied entry to the facility for checks and balances, that there's no transparency there. I mean, it does come down to a group of people. We saw it with DOGE when people were trying to get back into government buildings where they were like, nope, can't come in. Like, yeah, you can take it to the courts and try and drag that out over a long period of time, like you just said. But for the immediate, for the now, for the time that matters most, like, no entry, no transparency.
Yeah, nope, absolutely. So it's fun times we're living in.
Yeah, it is. All right, let's move it along. I'm about to have a heart attack.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
Just reading some of the comments on YouTube. We appreciate everyone on there. As usual, there's some inner bickering going on there, but people seem to be chiming in with support. Who's going? You got a news or am I going?
Whatever. It doesn't matter to me. What are we going to talk about now? Are we going to talk about...
Well, let's talk about the freaking Epstein files, as everyone is. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was your first impression this week when the Trump world announced, like, hey, actually... There is no client list. He wasn't, it was suicide. It wasn't nothing to see here. I know we've insinuated for months that we have files sitting on our desk. I know that Trump said he was going to release, but turns out there is none of it.
I think that it is the exact definition of gaslighting. Like, you're freaking gaslighting me, dude. You talked about this for years and Clinton's on the list and you always thought there was a freaking list. And all of the sudden, they say, like, oh, there's no list. There's really not. I mean, even Cash Patel sat down with Bro Rogan. And, you know, I think he was actually on the podcast live when Elon Musk first tweeted out, like, you know, Donald's on the Epstein list. And he was like, you know, we're going over all that video. Everything's there. If we had something, we would be showing it. There's nothing that you think is on it.
Yeah. Listen, I'm willing to accept that the guy killed himself.
Sure.
I mean, it makes sense. He was a terrible human. He was in jail. He was going to go away forever. He's probably getting beaten and abused in prison. So that part of the story, and I saw the footage where it's time lapse, where no one comes and goes. So, okay, that part of the story I might be willing to accept. But how could there be no client names, no lists whatsoever? Who was he sex trafficking for or to? His right-hand woman, Ghislaine Maxwell, she's in prison for sex trafficking. There has to be a point A and a point B if you're trafficking people. So what's the implication we're supposed to take now? She was prostituting people, but no one took the offer. Like, that's absurd, obviously.
Well, we already know that, like, some of the things with Ghislaine Maxwell, I don't even know how to properly say her name, you know, but when she went to prison, some of that stuff was brought up of client lists. And, you know, we've been talking about, you guys have been, when I say you guys, I'm talking to you maggots out there that have been defending the fact that, oh yeah, Trump's name is on the flight log, but, you know, he's not tied to anything. So there's obviously documents here of who was at the island. They said that Epstein had cameras on that island set up everywhere for his insurance. For his insurance. And when Cash Patel was asked about that video, he was like, oh, you know, there's people coming and going, but none of the sex acts. And I'm not going to, you know, put those women through it again by releasing that those videos. Well, which is it? Are there women on there or are there not? Because you said both in one sentence. Don't tell me that all of the evidence is just somehow gone. It's there. It's been there. And now you don't want to release it. It's obvious to me.
Well, and there's that famous interview that happened during the campaign where Fox News asked Trump, like, you're going to release the JFK files. Oh, yeah, you release the, you know, the alien. Oh, yeah. And then when they asked about the Epstein files, he was like, oh, yeah, I'll release them. But wait, you know, actually, there could be a lot of innocent names in there, a lot of innocent people mixed up. What the hell was he referring to then?
Obviously.
Whether those names are innocent or not, he's obviously referring to some paper trail.
100%, dude. There's logs. Just the flight logs alone could show a lot. And let's not talk about all the stuff that was confiscated from that island. I mean, look, we all know it. That's why I say this is gaslighting to the 100th degree, dude. We know it's there. We're now being told, and we'll get tired of saying, hey, we know it's there. Show it to us. They'll just wear us out. Because it's so hard to argue with someone who's not in reality and just lies so blatantly like that.
Yes. And I think Trump kind of gave away the game the other day when on an unrelated, you know, they were doing some press conference and someone asked about the Epstein files and Trump snapped, like, we still talking about this? Why are you people still talking about this? Like, that's what my kid does when he's guilty of, like, he broke a lamp and he's like, why are we still talking about the lamp? Who keeps bringing up this lamp? Let's move on from the lamp.
Right. You know, like, yes.
You are so freaking guilty with this whole nothing to see here. Move on. Why are we still talking about this?
Yeah. 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 I mean, it is. It's almost... It drives me crazy to even talk about it because, you know, he says, I barely knew the guy, but then we find out that they were best friends for a long time. There's pictures with them like crazy. You know, we know what's going on here. It's being hidden from us. And why Pam Bondi came on? Do you believe the whole thing she said about the video? You know, the part of the video that's missing, you know, that video system shut down every night at 11:58 or whatever for a couple of minutes.
Oh, I don't even know if I saw that. A little fun. But the problem with the Trump world is I don't believe anything they say for a million reasons. But, one of them is the fact that they have told us all the art of the deal. You never know when we're just bluffing or using something for negotiations. The whole taco thing of him. Oh, I'm not chickening out. I was just bluffing or I was trying to get you to look at, like.
Completely.
No, we don't believe a goddamn word you said because you're a little boy that cries wolf constantly. But this does bring up an issue that Kat Amanda just brought up on YouTube of, is there three-dimensional chess going on here? Is he gaslighting us with this stuff to actually gaslight us away from everything else going on in the world? Is the Epstein thing an intentional distraction away from Alligator Auschwitz and from the big, beautiful Bill and from the ICE raids?
Like, of course.
Is this a legitimate topic or are we being played while being played?
Listen, it is a legitimate topic, okay? We all know that. But this is like, you ever play with a laser light with a cat, you know? Sure. This is exactly what Trump has. Trump has a laser, and we're all cats, and we're all spinning all over the place. We can't concentrate on any one thing. And yes, she's right. That's exactly what's happening here.
Yeah. We've been talking about this for years, that Trump is, for better or for worse, a master at the news cycle. That, you know, a normal politician, when you have some scandal, it occupies the news cycle for days, weeks, or months, because that's the only story. Trump, on a daily basis, has 20 different scandals. So there is literally not enough time in an hour in a news cycle, on the front page of a newspaper, on the main page of a website. Like, there's not enough time or space to cover all of these things. And there is something purely evil genius about that.
100%. I mean, we know he's good at it. He's such an idiot that he's really good at it. He doesn't, you know what makes him good at it? He doesn't have a soul. None of these things actually matter to him. So, yeah, it's easy for him to walk all over and be like, oh, I'll show all these cards and no one will be able to focus on anything. And that's exactly what he's been doing. News coverage can't handle conversations about any one of these topics because we're forced to move on so quickly, dude.
Yeah. You remember Dan Quayle?
Oh, yeah.
George, the original Bush's vice president. Like, that guy got run out of town on rails, out of politics, because he misspelled the word potato.
Yes.
And no one would ever let that go. Yeah. It dominated the news cycle. And to this day, people still bring up, that idiot misspelled potato. He can't be trusted.
You remember the guy? He was at a rally, and he had let out a big, like, ah! Do you remember?
Yeah.
And
Howard Dean.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
you're done.
He was just right booted. That was it. That's all it took, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's something masterful and utterly depressing about what Trump has pulled off on all of us.
Yeah. Jake Tapper has come out and said, while there might not be a list of actual people, there are certainly files that can be released. And that is what we're saying right now. I mean, there's files that can be released. You know, I would even think that, you know, like Trump made that statement, like, I might release some of it. You know, some of that stuff's a little sketchy. You could redact stuff, but they're not releasing anything. So yeah, maybe this is just to get us to look over here while we're killing people at Alligator Auschwitz, or, you know, passing this big, beautiful bill.
Yeah, no, spot on. I mean, that's why I said earlier, there, don't tell me there's not a paper trail.
Yeah.
Maybe this is what they're trying to do. Like, oh, there's not a list. Like, he didn't write, here is my client list with alphabetical names. Like, oh, there's no list. Nobody thought he was like Santa Claus writing down a freaking list of who's naughty or nice. Like, don't tell me there's not an effing paper trail in all of these documents.
Of course.
And people have been prosecuted already. He was going to be prosecuted. Obviously, there's names.
Yes.
So anyone believing that there's not any sort of a list, quote unquote, is gullible, either willingly gullible or just easily gullible.
There's victims, dude, that we know of that have come forward and then withdrawn out of being pressured by courts and other political people. You know, there's victims. Yes, there's lists, yeah. Dude.
Why are we talking about this? Move on.
Yeah.
So, I agree. Let's move on.
All right. Well, I'm going to get you into something now. Just, I don't know. This is stupid. But did you see that the Dana White's UFC has confirmed that Trump plans to host a fight on the White House lawn in 2026?
Yes, I have seen that. And at a minimum, it's beneath the dignity of what the White House is supposed to be. I don't know that we got any dignity anymore when you got that guy in the White House eating his McDonald's and throwing ketchup on the wall. But, yeah, I mean, this could not be more like Roman times, yeah, where the emperor wants to watch the lions eat the, you know, the peasants out there. This bothers me on 100 levels. Not to mention the president is, again, now promoting a private business like he did selling Teslas on the front lawn of the White House. Now he's setting up a freaking UFC fight on the property of the White House.
I'm waiting for one of those, you know, those things you see at used car lots that blow up and wave in the air. You know, there's going to be one on the White House lawn very soon. But you bring up a good point. In Roman times, the reason they did all those battles was to distract people from what was actually going on and what happened to them. Well, it wasn't good, I'll tell you that. Dana White said he expects the card to include a title fight in front of 20,000 to 25,000 people. Every one of our national parks, battlefields, and historic sites are going to have special events in honor of America 250. And I even think we're going to have a UFC fight right here on the White House lawn, Trump said. Do you know how crazy that is and how any sense of decorum is? I mean, think about the people that are rolling over in their graves, just thinking like, that's what I fought for? Like UFC on the White House lawn? What are you talking about?
Right. Yes. What are the odds that Trump decides to man up and have the title fight? I can think of a long line of people that would pay. I would give everything I have and say, let me go have the title fight with Trump.
What do you mean? Him get in the ring?
Yes. Come on. The emperor used to every now and again get down there and do some battle. They would sedate the tigers or whatever, or, you know, break the leg of the guy who's fighting. But, you know, I mean, that was in the freaking Gladiator movie. The emperor gets down there and fought Russell Crowe. Like, come on, Trump. What are you, some big wussy?
Of course.
Can't get in the ring?
No. Of course he can't get in the ring, dude. I mean, that would be hysterical. Can you imagine? That would be a way of raising money for America, is how many people would pay to get in that ring for just one bitch slap, you know?
I will give you both my Paul Reed Smiths. I'll give you my dirt bike in the garage. Yeah. You can pick one of my kids. I can't give you both, but you can like anything I would take. And by the way, I have put on events before, and I've had to set up, you were there, like I had to set up a stadium in a parking lot at a casino.
Yeah.
And you remember like how big of a floor we had and how many bleachers we had around, right? It was a big setup.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
We could hold, I think, 3,000 people in that setup I'm describing. This BS number, they're going to set up 25,000 seats at the White House? That's an NBA stadium. How are you building that? And I'm not even talking about how much money that would cost. That is logistically impossible to build.
Hey, it's for America 250, Steve. Like, some of these things, are, you know, we could spend money on, like that parade, the birthday parade and everything else, the army parade. But, you know, this is for a birthday, for crying out loud. So, yeah, we'll spend a little extra money on this. But screw Medicaid, dude.
Right. There is no amount of money that could build a 25,000-seat anything on the grounds of the White House. Like 2,500 would be more accurate. But these are the semantics I'm getting caught up in.
Right.
The effing president just called for a steel cage grudge match like on the White House.
Dude.
Talk about redneck mega bonanza. I'm sure Kid Rock will be performing. And, you know, the Budweiser will be flowing.
You don't watch UFC, right?
No.
All right. So I do watch some UFC. But you should see, since Trump has started coming to all these fights, you know, he's bringing his whole crew. And, I mean, you've got the cabinet of the White House sitting front row at UFC fights. And you know, they're all, like, you know, making devil signs, horns with their hands, like, rock and roll, baby. It is just, I mean, we've really devolved into something shameful in this country. And now we'll bring it right to the White House lawn. So
yes, something shameful, some things shameful. And yeah, Cash Patel, by the way, has been taking private jets to go to some of those UFC fights. And I know the FBI director is not allowed to fly domestically. Like, I get that. But still, you're taking private jets on government money to go hang out with the bros and watch some knuckles getting bashed around.
It's crazy. It's just nuts. Let's talk about something a little more important, because I wanted to make sure we talked about this today. With Trump's immigration agenda is making things even worse for domestic violence victims. I came across his article, and to be honest with you, I hadn't even thought about this because there's so much other crap to think about. But the mass deportation agenda has created a climate of terror and isolation for immigrant victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. And the threat of detention by immigration and customs enforcement has left many survivors too scared to seek critical help from law enforcement and the legal system.
Yeah, this is why sanctuary cities exist, quote unquote. It's not that they give immunity to immigrants that are undocumented. It's that they don't want them to be afraid to call the local police because they're being raped, robbed, murdered. They're watching a crime, because if they fear they will be arrested and deported, they're not going to report crimes. So you're spot on. And I hadn't thought about that either, that some poor woman who's being abused by her dirtbag husband cannot call the cops now because they're afraid that ICE will show up and take them all.
Yes, 100%. Let me see. Alliance for Immigrant Survivors, a national network that advocates for immigrant survivors of gender-based violence, surveyed over 170 victim service providers, including social workers, immigration attorneys across the country. Providers worked with immigrant survivors of intimate partner violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking. This survey in particular, anyway, found that 76% of providers reported that immigrant survivors currently have concerns about contacting the police to report domestic violence and sexual assault. Half of them said that victims who had concerns about contacting law enforcement or going to court chose not to because they were scared of potential consequences. So this is, that's a large number, nearing 80%. What those numbers are already very high. Oftentimes people don't want to get the law involved in their domestic issues. This is another way this is harming and killing people, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah, no, spot on. Trump talks about they're sending murderers, they're sending rapists, and I'm going to make it easier for those people to commit the crimes.
Yeah, right.
To be raping and robbing because, people in that community aren't going to call the cops. So, oy, what a self-fulfilling prophecy of doom we have going on.
I know when I was raised, parents and not necessarily my parents, but schools, they would say like, oh, if you're ever in trouble, like go to a policeman, they're safe, or go into a government courthouse. Well, now with ICE showing up at courthouses to take people out that are showing up for trials that they're supposed to show up for, they're being taken out. So yeah, everyone is just kind of staying away from all the courthouses and all the law agencies.
And by the way, too, another one of the stories I did this week, that Canadian mom that got arrested, she got arrested at her green card interview.
Right.
She was trying to do it correctly, like all the MAGA say, you want to be in this country, get a green card. This woman was applying. She was brought here as a child, like 30 years ago. Okay. It's one of those stories.
Yeah.
And over the years, she was like, I got to fix this. So she went into the system. So she showed up for her green card meeting and they arrested her. So what motivation is there to do anything correctly when they trick you into showing up to do it the right way and then they haul your ass off to jail, deport you out of the country? And by the way, that Canadian woman has been telling ICE for weeks, I'll deport then. I'll buy my own ticket. I'll go to Canada. They won't release her.
Yeah. And that's one of many stories that's happening just like that, where they're showing up. Absolutely. And trying to do the right thing. There are people that won't even go now to the hospital. There was a lady one of her social workers was interviewed. She waited 2 days after the domestic incident, went to the hospital only after her immigration attorney assured her it was safe. She had a broken nose and orbital bone. She didn't want to go to the hospital. She thought, I'm going to get taken somewhere. So, yeah, this is what this is all creating. Underground, but we need to bring it to the forefront. So there you go.
I was just going to say, I know some of these topics are depressing, not only for the listeners, but it's depressing for you and I to be talking about this. And we live in these news cycles. But as I keep saying, people, like, if you're angry right now, that is the correct response. And you have to stay that way because we have to organize. We have to show up in the midterms, assuming there are any. We have to show up the next election. We got to keep a spotlight on this stuff. We all got to keep talking about it and sharing this stuff because as sucked into the news as you and I are or people watching this are, not everyone is. A lot of these stories people have never heard of. So if you like them, comment them, share them on your socials. Like, it's going to end up on the feed of people that will otherwise be blissfully ignorant to all of this. And we just got to keep a spotlight on all this, and we got to stay vocal.
Got to stay vocal, got to stay in the fight. And it may even end up on someone's platform that, voted for Trump or whatever. I'm not saying it's going to change their mind, but to have them be aware of the things that they are supporting, I'll tell you this, for the 4th of July, we were in a small town and I saw all these kids, like 15, 16 year olds, were at this restaurant. They were all wearing Make America Great Again hats. And, my wife and I walked in, we were just like, ugh, they don't even know what it means or what it stands for, but they're wearing the hat, because they think he's funny or whatever, or the parents like him or whatever. So shining these lights are important for people to know that, if you're going to vote that way, feel what you're doing at the very least. You don't have to care, but feel what you're doing and see what you're doing. So
that's very true. So now, listen, we appreciate everyone tuning into this and to all of the videos and all the hosts that are here on Really American Media. and elsewhere. I mean, there's other liberal voices out there, and we appreciate everyone's, you know, support and paying attention and, you know, donations that come in or just the comments and the sharing that come in. Like, it's needed, and, you know, we don't want to do this just to talk to ourselves, so we appreciate the people that are joining in.
Yeah, for sure. We'll keep the good fight going. Come up for air every once in a while so you can stay mentally sane, but get back in the fight just as fast as you can. And thanks for listening to the show. We're Nick and Steve with the Vocal Minority. And yeah, we do have social media sites that you can go check out.
Yep. We're on TikTok. We're here on YouTube with our own page, and we're on the Really American Stuff. We're on Blue Sky. Lots of good stuff going there. You can find us on Facebook. You just can't find us on X or Truth Social because we try to stay out of the sewer.
Indeed. Yeah. Caller comment line 844-48-VOCAL. Thank you for joining the podcast today. Until next time.
This has been another production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Don't forget to check out all the social media as the boys are on most platforms. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the pushback. Champions all around. Good day.
Yeah, what he said.